Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you, especially when I get a chance to reintroduce you to our favorite intellectual property attorney. David Dossi is, he's not only our intellectual property attorney for the Brain Trust, he's my intellectual property attorney. He's a partner with Gallagher and Dossi, a law firm in Columbus, Ohio. He joins us on a regular basis to talk to us about intellectual property, how to protect it, how to recognize it, how to value it, how to protect it, and how to take advantage of it. He's our good friend, David Dossi. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Always a pleasure to have you back. It was interesting, folks. David was listening to my show, and he disagreed with something that we said on the show years ago. And he wrote me an email and said, "What the heck's wrong with you guys? That was the dumbest thing I ever heard," or something like that. David, what do you remember exactly what you said?
Well, I remember. It's funny you mention that, because this morning I noticed it was over 8 years ago that occurred.
That's right.
And
you said,
"Yeah,
what the heck's the matter with you big dummy," or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote back and I said, "Hey, put your money where your mouth is."
Well, see, that shows that I was a fan of your show long before I was a guest.
Absolutely.
So we
found out you didn't have a life even 8 years ago, right? Thanks again for hanging out with us, David, and it's been fun. One of the things that I saw, I read something the other day that I wanted you to talk to us about how some people in certain industries, when they want to protect intellectual property, of course, we know you have copyright, you have trademark protection, you have patents, and so what I was reading was that some people, some industries, have the ability to say, okay, I've got this property, and I can choose whether to copyright it, or I can choose to patent it. Talk to us about that.
Well, sure. You have to have a basic understanding that, in general, copyright is protection directed to works of authorship. So traditional thinking
say
of
that,
copyright...
Say that again slower.
Copyright's directed to works of authorship.
Right.
So the traditional thinking is, okay, art, two-dimensional, three-dimensional.
Right.
Photos, pictures, drawings...
Words.
Songs, music, books...
Yeah,
you know, plays,
an
movies.
Article could be a poem, a short poem,
exactly.
An Ogden Nash poem.
So those are types of more or less artistic expression, and one common mistake is copyright exists as soon as you put it in a tangible form. So if I recorded a song right now, I would own the copyright in that, even if I didn't go and register it with the Library of Congress.
How would you be able to verify, though, if you wrote a song and miraculously I wrote the same song and didn't mean to infringe on you? We just, you know, through some weird twist of nature, we both wrote the same song, and I published it after you, but mine was known, yours wasn't known. How could you prove that?
Well, that's where the difficulties, that's what we call common law copyright, is when it's not registered. And
right.
The downside of that is what you just mentioned. You don't have the real teeth to go after
mm-hmm.
someone. If you invest $35 to $65 to register a copyright with the Library of Congress, the benefits afforded with that are
right.
just tremendous. That's the best return on your investment
right.
in intellectual property.
What if you wrote that song and posted it on YouTube? Does the electronic date stamp give you almost the same thing as the copyright from the Congress, Library of Congress?
No, it would. It might establish when you created a work, And, you know, nowadays photographs have dates embedded in them and such. But registering it with the Library of Congress allows you to seek what are called statutory damages if an infringement occurs, rather than if you didn't register with the Library of Congress, you would have to sue someone and prove actual damages. So prove that their use of your copyrighted work took money out of your pocket. And that is often
But you would not be we would not have that path with a common law copyright.
Right. With common law you have to prove the damages, whereas if you register with the Library of Congress for a minor fee, you would be able to try to go after statutory damages where you don't have to prove that it took money out of your pocket. It's almost as if you're
They're punitive then. They're not just not just compensatory, they're punitive.
Right.
Okay, hold on to that thought. We're going to be right back with David Dossie. More on this topic after these messages. Fascinating, isn't it? Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.